Badlands. Run into Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Brief. Today is Monday. It is May 13th, 2024, and this is the Badlands News Brief. Patrick, I think, will be joining us here in about 15 minutes or so. It's running a little bit late this morning. First, let's say what's up to all of you guys. Fat Chance and Joe 04, good morning. Bob 49er, like it. It's good to see you. Good morning. The Bunny, Joey G17, Ageless 43 Warrior, Crystal Clear. It's good to see all you guys. Chris Jocks, Kathy Lee. We've got S. Heisler, or as I call her, Scheisler. We've got Miss A. Watley. We've got Dina. What's up? And Magravator. It's good to see both of you. All of you guys. Good to see you. Inspector Geo, Ageless 43 Warrior, Defund the Liberals, a name we can all agree with. Garbear 5. Good morning, everybody. Leadfoot. Oh, I get it. Leadfoot. Oh, nice. Good to see you. Good morning. K.O. Kelly. And let me make sure I don't miss anybody. LKS9123. Good morning. It's good to see you. EC, always good to see you. Spunky Patriot 1776 and Baba Ganoush. And Angie and Coleman and Tattoo Teacher and 1T and Tamcat and I Am Goldstein and Maggie. It's good to see all you guys. Good morning, everybody. Before we get into the Badlands News Brief, we are going to talk about our first sponsor. And that is Gold Co. Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported a critical issue, the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts, while the Democrats lead towards letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But fear not, there's a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for 10% back in bonus silver, but hurry, supplies are limited. Don't leave your financial future to chance. Act now to diversify and shield your savings against the uncertainties ahead. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny. Nailed it on the timing. All right, everybody. Let's learn about what happened over the weekend in our crazy, crazy world. Badlands News Brief, of course, brought to you every Monday through Friday, drops around 7 a.m. Eastern time. And it's brought to you by Burning Bright, who pulls this whole thing together. And a lot of us contribute takes to it. So make sure you are over on the Substack. You are subscribed over there as well. And do us a favor this morning and smash the thumb wherever you're watching. If you're watching us on Rumble, if you're watching us on Pilled, please hit the like button, whatever that looks like for you. It's real important to what we do here at Badlands. So thank you for that. U.S. cites intelligence, offers Israel supplies to limit Rafah operation. The Biden administration, working urgently to stave off a full-scale Israeli invasion of Rafah, is offering Israel valuable assistance in an effort to persuade it to hold back, including sensitive intelligence to help Israeli military pinpoint the location of Hamas leaders and find the group's hidden tunnels, according to four people familiar with the U.S. Offers. Incredible they haven't done that, right? So is that intelligence that they're withholding? Very interesting. American officials have also offered to help provide thousands of shelters so Israel can build tent cities and to help with the construction of delivery systems for food, water, and medicine so that Palestinians evacuated from Rafah can have a habitable place to live, said the officials, speaking on the condition of anonymity to disclose secret diplomatic talks. President Biden and his senior aides have been making such offers over the past several weeks in hopes they will persuade Israel to conduct a more limited and targeted operation in the southern Gaza city, where some 1.3 million Palestinians are sheltering after fleeing there from other parts of Gaza under Israeli orders. Israel has vowed to go into Rafah with extreme force. And this week, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu took a number of steps that raised fears at the White House that the long-promised invasion could be materializing. The United States has provided Israel with intelligence throughout the seven-month war. Senior Biden aides are now seeking to convince Israeli officials that they can destroy the remaining Hamas battalions in Rafah with more targeted strikes, that the U.S. can assist by identifying senior Hamas leads rather than a full-scale invasion. Administration officials, including experts from the U.S. Agency for International Development, have told Israel it will take 7 months to safely relocate hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who are now living in decrepit and unsanitary conditions in Rafah. Israeli officials disagree with that assessment. WAPO. All right. So we have a Ghost of Base Patrick Henry take on this, and we will, of course, read it. Oh, hi.
Hi there.
I just saw in the chat, I have slid in quietly. First of all, that she said. And second of all,
No, Miss A. Watley said Patrick slides in quietly. I'm like, all right, so it's early.
So we're just gonna have to let that one go. Never. We will never let it go.
I know. It's funny because at GART, I don't remember who I was talking to, but I just randomly, for no reason, kind of not even really all that fittingly said, that's what she said. And somebody said, I would have been disappointed if you hadn't said that. So
yeah,
we're in the right crowd at least. Yes.
Stop trying to change us.
I know.
So the thing about this, I don't know how much of this Israel story you heard.
I heard all of it and listened to none of it.
Okay. So the thing that blows my mind on this, not really. I mean, it's just a question that a journalist should ask, is that why haven't they given all of this intelligence, the U.S., U.S. forces, U.S. State Department, U.S. National Security Council working with Israel? Why are they just now giving them intelligence about where the Hamas leaders are? And, why is it now a bargaining chip? Does that mean they were withholding that intelligence before? And why would they do that? And then the second thing is, they're saying, we can't get this tent city up super fast. It's going to take us months and months to put this tent city up. And I'm old enough to remember the Chinese hospital that they put up damn near overnight during COVID.
Well, when you're completely full of shit, you have all sorts of power. So I was watching a little show called Charmed last night.
I know it.
Mainly for Shannon Doherty. And I was watching it with my wife. It's kind of like Great Value Buffy, really. And there was an episode in which the main villain had the ability to turn his enemies into dust with the wave of his hand. But he also had telekinesis. And whenever he was up against a main character, he would just use his telekinesis to throw the enemy around. But with minor characters, he would turn them to dust. And I just kept turning to my wife and I said, well, why doesn't he just turn Shannon Doherty to dust?
Right.
And the answer is very simple, because the plot needs him not to. When I read stories like this, and then I hear you asking these very reasonable questions, it makes me think that it's because we're interacting not with military decisions and diplomatic decisions, but instead with writers' rooms who kind of have their heads up their butts.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is, why didn't they give them this intelligence? Because the current plot needs them not to, because it's all being fed to us on a feed.
Yeah, because the next scene is dependent upon what the new intelligence is saying right now is needed for, the whole third act, potentially.
And the third act is coming. I mean, or we're in the third act. Good old God, Scott Adams keeps referring to us being in Donald Trump's third act. Maggie Bundy, Shannon Doherty will never be old and dusty to me.
Oh.
Good grief. Nobody's allowed to talk about Shannon Doherty that way. All right, there we go.
What was her name to what? Brenda.
Oh, yes, Brenda.
Will she always be Brenda to you?
No, she will always be Prue to me, but she's also from Charmed. Brenda.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, have we done any sponsors yet?
I did Goldco already.
Beautiful. All right, let's hop into the next story. But do you have any more on this one? Because I could do the ghost of bass Patrick Henry take. It's actually not that long.
It's a shorter one, yeah. And I think he's you'll get people will get more of a you know and it's somebody who's invested in the take than you and I who are like it's fake and I don't care.
It's for me. I want to say this is not our concern in any way. This Agreed. Is. Across the world, and we need to establish better supply chains. And furthermore, how exactly are we trading partners with Israel strategically? What goods do we get from Israel that we don't get elsewhere? Because that's the only reason I really think we should care about the affairs of other countries. Do we buy stuff from them that if they get attacked, that we can't buy it anymore? I'm wondering. Other than, of course, trans hormones, I do know that Israel makes a ton of those.
And spyware. Okay. There are some the you know kind of pharma R&D industry there and the emerging tech industry in Israel. I believe both of those are areas where we have partnerships, at least in the corporate realm, pretty significant partnerships. But in terms of like actual goods and services, trans hormones and spyware is not worth going to war for, in my opinion.
All right, here we go. So what is most telling about this story is the fact that the CIA knows where the Hamas leaders are, and yet none of them are being targeted as part of this military operation against Hamas. When Trump went after ISIS with Putin and Russia, they didn't launch massive bombing campaigns of areas suspected to be housing ISIS leaders. Instead, they used precision strikes and raids that targeted ISIS leadership, minimizing the casualties necessary to effectively dismantle ISIS operations. These efforts are important as every death is used by these terror networks as recruiting material and propaganda to help win the sympathy and support of the normie public in the region, as we have seen happen in Palestine with Hamas. They likely also targeted financing networks Hello Qatar and Langley. Using these tactics, Trump and Putin were able to wipe out ISIS in a matter of weeks. So why aren't these same strategies being utilized against Hamas? Why are the leaders being ignored and allowed to operate while armored columns and 2,000-pound bombs are being deployed against displaced women and children sheltering in refugee camps? The answer is coming into clear focus as time goes on. Ghost of base Patrick Henry. I don't think anything's in clear focus. I would definitely quibble about the whole clear focus thing. Bombs on starving women and children. I need to see really strong evidence of that even happening. And it's not being provided. I have a funny feeling that when it is provided, I might find a few problems with the evidence itself.
And I just want to remind everybody that the difference between Hamas and hummus is you.
Hamas. I don't know. Is it? I don't want to pronounce it Hamas because I just don't think they pronounce it that way. Or do they?
Well, Ilhan Omar, when she was mocking us about Hamas, pronounced it Hamas.
Okay. I knew it. I was just guessing, by the way, on the pronunciation. But you would think that she would have looked into it on account of being so Muslim and everything.
Yeah. And she is Somali, not Gazan.
Yeah, so. But I think that she would have been trying to ape Arab pronunciation, right?
Well, sure. But the dialects are tricky things, right? Like I say water and my husband says water.
Where is he from?
Long Island.
It's brutal, isn't it?
And I'm from Atlanta. So we talk super different in ways.
Water. The water thing, that really gets me. I'm like, water. Okay, what's your problem?
Coffee.
Yeah, I don't mind that so much because that's how my mother says it. Mm. All right. Zero hedge. U.S. power grid and communication networks survive extreme geomagnetic storm. The Space Weather Prediction Center of NOAA warned on Friday about an extreme G5 geomagnetic storm impacting Earth, which lasted into the early morning hours. While there have been disruptions in communications, no significant failures in the U.S. power grid have been reported. Intense solar storms can disrupt the digital economy. G5 represents the highest level of a geomagnetic storm on a scale from G1 to G5. This intense space weather event led to disturbances in some satellite orientation and operations, as well as deterioration in radio communications that rely on ionospheric transmission. Additionally, there were some outages in GPS networks. Quote, The solar storm has knocked out almost all long-distance shortwave radio. Captain John Conrad, CEO of Captain, wrote on X. Elon Musk reported hours ago, quote, major geomagnetic solar storm happening right now, biggest in a long time. Starlink satellites are under a lot of pressure, but holding up so far. The last G5 storm to hit Earth this strongly was in October of 2003, which sparked power outages across Sweden and damaged transformers in South Africa. Since then, the economy's digitalization has increased dramatically, which means there's an increasing risk of grid failures and disruptions in communication networks. Zero Hedge. The only part of this story that we peasants can verify is, were there disruptions in communications? And the answer is, it's yes.
Not in my house.
We lost internet.
I think JB's power is still out.
JB's power or internet?
Yeah, power. I think, well, one's dependent on the other. But I'm doing a sports talk today because he doesn't have power.
That's nuts. I'm scared about electric grid failures. No, it's not the sun. It's all bullcrap about the sun. It has nothing to do with it. There is some kind of event taking place that causes communications to go out. It's probably a psychological prep show for something way, way worse, probably somehow related to the election. There's no such thing as the ionosphere. They made that up. It's a fiction. To account for the fact that why are we able to send radio waves 2,000 miles when it requires line of sight? And of course, the curvature of the Earth would have to block those radio waves. Oh, it's the ionosphere. It's bouncing off of it. They just made it up purely for that purpose, to come up with a natural explanation for the fact that they can shoot radio waves way further than
the fact that their science was debunked.
Yes, the fact that their science was debunked. And then globe believers have the audacity to cite the ionosphere as proof of a globe Earth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like relativity.
You got to check into freaking Einstein. That guy was an actor. He was.
Did he marry his first cousin?
He married two cousins. E equals MC squared stands for Einstein married cousin twice.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
That's so good.
By the way, that's a joke from Owen Benjamin, full disclosure.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Well done, Owen. Yeah. So you're not scared of the sunspots that are like, did you see what I sent you about the giant like flame coming out of the Earth and then wrapping itself around the Earth? Did you see that?
When did you send it? Did you send it
like Friday, I think.
Yeah, I got that. And that was like, but NASA wasn't claiming that that was a picture. NASA was producing a graphic. And they're quite serious about it.
Yes, but people that believe NASA aren't going to make a distinction. Everything NASA shows them is real to them.
I follow Journey to Space on Facebook. And some of the quote-unquote satellite pictures of Venus, Pluto. I'm really, really worried about the mental stability of regular people that they think those things are real.
I know. Same.
NASA
I have two
is
more questions.
They're trying to tell us, like, look, guys, we're going to give you this super duper retarded picture. All you have to do is be somewhere within one standard deviation below average intelligence, and you'll spot this as a fake. Please, please, we're begging you. We feel so guilty. And yet people still think, wow, yeah, the universe is so amazing.
So I have two more questions about this. One, taking the artist's rendering dramatic recreation of us being enveloped in a sunspot, essentially. I don't even know what you call it. Surge? Solar surge or something? Or whatever that is. The image wraps itself around the Earth. What does that do to the very idea of that? What does that do to man-made climate change, global warming theory, Like, we're all working real hard to eat less meat and to drive smaller cars and to make them electric, because apparently strip mining the earth and using child labor is less offensive than fossil fuels. We're doing all of that. And then all of a sudden, the entire earth is wrapped in fire from the sun. It seems like a futile effort. That's the first one.
Yeah.
The second one that I have is we're told that energy is scarce, right? And we need solar energy and we need wind energy and we need, but we need to, explore alternative energies and, of course, eat less meat and drive less and go fewer places and live in our 15-minute prisons and all of those things. Did the regime have any mechanisms in place to capture that incredible amount of energy that was allegedly coming off the sun at this one time? Couldn't we have filled all of our batteries and powered the earth for a shit ton of time if we had just been ready for that, as opposed to, I don't know, whatever we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's so it's all fake.
Yes, it is all fake. We do hear about proposed solutions for harvesting enormous amounts of sun power all at once. General Quast refers to it periodically at GARTS. I don't know if those technological solutions are dependent upon the widely accepted heliocentric legend of our existence, but I have heard, and I have not sufficiently investigated, the concept of there is energy all around us. All we have to do is harvest it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite novels, Atlas Shrugged, which remains one of my favorite novels, even after I became a believer in God and a Christian, even though Ayn Rand herself was an atheist. One of the main plot points was the main character, John Galt, or the main hero, John Galt, figured out a way to harvest so-called static electricity from the air around us. I think it's important to note that Ayn Rand was good friends with Alan Greenspan.
Mm.
And I think she might have been part of an op herself. It definitely had a strong atheism component to it. I don't know if there was disclosure involved in that novel. Something's up about harvesting energy. I think we are being forced to use primitive methods of producing energy for one reason or another. I think outside of the ice wall, the technology over there is way, way, way better, and that we are in a very special little prison colony being forced to use primitive technology. So,
kind of like Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah. 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 All right. Next story.
Yeah. I will just say, all of the solar panel, whatever battery power they're hooked up to, because they're harvesting energy, right? That should all be full. It should all be, we should be in an excellent position, because what we're told is that the sun has been beaming energy at us in an expanded way for the past several days. And the, I don't know, the way NASA made it look, we should have no energy problems for a while. It should all be solar. We should have flying solar cars.
We should indeed. We really should. Yeah. Let's do the Arrow Tags video. I've got that queued up right now. Tired of the endless cycle of buying and tossing those paper tree air fresheners? Enter Arrow Tags, where their dream was to craft a solution to this very problem. Arrow Tags are the first ever laser engraved, resentable car air fresheners made right here in the USA. Born in the makerspace of the Cleveland Public Library, Arrow Tags is not just a business, it's a revolution, a testament to the American dream. They are not just about freshening your space, but about doing it better. With a commitment to longevity, aesthetics, and sustainability, Arrow Tags are designed to last longer, look great, and reduce waste, replacing those fleeting scents with something you can count on. Don't forget to grab your Badlands Media Arrow Tag now available. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/arrowtags. That's ArrowTags. And use promo code Badlands for 10% off your order. That's badlandsmedia.tv/arrowtags. Promo code Badlands.
Have you done Atlas Shrugged on Epiclit?
It's too long. But it's what I did long. Do was I took the train disaster chapter and I did it as Reading Epic Threads probably two years ago. It's somewhere on my Rumble channel. But the train disaster is amazing. There's this politician on the Taggart train and he's demanding that they get him to his political rally in San Francisco on time. And they're like, yeah, but our engine has broken down and we're about to go through a tunnel. And he's like, okay, fine. Everybody here is going to be fired if you don't get me to my rally on time. And so a whole string of people are saying, this politician says we're all fucked. We're all effed if we don't get this train to his political rally on time. And they're like, well, we don't have any engines for him. And they're like, hang on. We do have a coal burning engine. And they said, no, obviously it has to be a diesel engine. They're about to go through an 8 mile long tunnel and the fumes from a coal engine will kill everybody on the train. And through unbelievable bureaucratic cowardice, it eventually happens that they send it through the tunnel with a coal burning engine just to make it so this politician won't be angry and everybody on the train dies. It's
spoiler alert.
It's very good. It is very good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. Next story. Bill Maher unleashes on Stormy Daniels' testimony in Trump trial. She's a bad witness. This friggin' guy. Real-time host Bill Maher wasn't particularly thrilled with the testimony of adult film actress Stormy Daniels this week in the New York trial against former President Trump. During a panel discussion Friday night, Maher reiterated his frustrations with how the criminal charges against Trump have been stalled, noting the recent developments with the Georgia and classified documents cases. So it's Stormy or bust, Maher quipped. All right, how long is this thing? Yeah, 3 minutes. We can play it. Does it fall under fair use if I just play this?
Yeah, you're fine.
We'll find out.
I mean, the Democrats have had four years to put Trump on trial, and it is all just going away. They blew it at every term. Here's what's happened this week. Georgia, that one, okay. They're going to take up Trump's argument about Fannie Willis. Now, she's the prosecutor. She's having an affair with the guy she hired. I mean, it's not really relevant to the case, but they left an opening. And now that one should be delayed. The stolen documents one, that's never going to happen because that's a Trumpy judge down there. So it's Stormy or bust.
I saw what you did there.
It just comes out. I'm not trying. If this one doesn't work, and she's a bad witness, because let me show you a little video. This is when I had Stormy on in 2018, and first I asked her why she had sex with Trump. Listen to that, and then listen to what she says after that, and then we're going to talk about the trial, because it's quite a variant of what she said to me in 2018. Why did you fuck Donald Trump?
I have no idea.
Okay, but you say it's not a Me Too case.
It is not a Me Too case. I mean, I wasn't assaulted. I wasn't attacked or raped or coerced or blackmailed. They tried to shove me in the Me Too box to further their own agenda. And first of all, I didn't want any part of that because it's not the truth and I'm not a victim in that regard.
That's not what she's saying now. She's talking about he was bigger and blocking the way. It's all the Me Too buzzwords. She said there was a power imbalance of power for sure. My hands were shaking so hard. She said she blacked out. Mm. Blacked out? She's a porn star. I don't think sex.
That doesn't mean she's been subjected to the likes of Donald Trump.
Well,
I might black out too.
Do you really think she blacked out? I mean, this, a porn star is used to having sex with people she does not know. That's the job. It's kind of like Stormy Bob Stormy. Fuck. Action. And let's go. And we're losing the life. So I just think I just think she's not a good witness. And this
Yesterday wasn't a good day for her in court. And she wasn't a good witness. She has contradicted things she said in the past. And You know, everyone who is hanging on the hope of Stormy Daniels being the way to get Trump in prison is going to have another disappointment coming, I think.
Yeah.
This feels to me as a kind of last chance, as you say, for the people who, it's clear to a lot of the country think, let's say, that there is just an aim to make sure that Donald Trump is not on the ballot later this year, and it'll be done anyway. But as you say, to end up with a Stormy Daniels case as the main hope is, if I was the main person wanting to get Trump in prison, that would not be the thing I would want to hang this on.
You know, Ash, when are these people going to figure out that they're the bad guys?
Oh, I think Bill Maher most definitely knows that he's a bad guy.
You know, do you remember when he referred to a teacher having sex with like a 12-year-old student as they had sex because they were in love? And I wouldn't stop that. There is a very, very different culture simmering below the surface of these elites. They really do. Like, or you have like Roman Polanski, according to people like Meryl Streep, Whoopi Goldberg, you know, 30-something Roman Polanski having, if I'm not mistaken, unconventional sex with a 13-year-old girl as he was having sex with his girlfriend. What's your problem? These people are not like us.
Well, yeah.
In fundamental ways.
And let's talk about, so yes, agree with you 100%. And they're the modern age of, you know, all of us having narrative delivery devices in our hands all the time, and the outsized obsession with celebrity, they think that they are above the law. And they have been. For a period of time, they've been completely able to operate in that other reality bubbling below the surface and really no fear of getting caught. But let's talk about the surface level. Mm-hmm. Why is it that these three men can make misogynistic jokes about Stormy Daniels? And I'm not saying porn star jokes should be off the table. I love a good joke. But these guys say that. These guys say it's super offensive for Trump to say that women can be so thirsty that they'll let you grab them by the pussy. That's something that's out of bounds. How dare he? That's such a heinous thing to say. But Bill Maher can say Stormy Bob, Stormy fuck. I mean, they're basically calling her a hole. And that's totally fine because right now she's hurting their ability to get Trump.
Well, think about what they do with black people when a black person is on the other side. You got the brain surgeon Carson, Carson, and they call him stupid. I heard that brain surgery requires high IQ. I've heard it, you know, for example. Doesn't take a brain surgeon to blah, blah, blah. It's a common trope that they're smart. Nope, he's black. We're going to call him dumb. And that's what they do, by the way.
Yep.
There's no one more racist than a white liberal. It is. Yes. It blows my mind how racist these people are. And I am a well-known bigot. And these people make me look like I don't have a good analogy, but you get
the
idea.
You're a bigot, though, in the way that Mel Brooks is a bigot. Like, everybody's on the table, and it's going to be hilarious. Not because of hate. Bigotry is a form of hate, and I don't particularly think you hate anyone but stupid people.
I don't hate them either, but I do enjoy Mel Brooks enormously. Mm. When he was interviewed by Jiminy Glick, Jiminy Glick said, "So why do you have such a problem with Nazis?" It was absolutely one of the funniest moments in Mel Brooks' history because he was not expecting that question. All right, let's see here. And furthermore, I want to say one more thing. Cassidy Hutchinson, do you remember what that woman did? She went to the J6 committee and gave them some bullshit and then revised it, and then gave them some more bullshit and then revised it, did it again, revised it, then did it a fourth time and revised it with a 15-page sheet of errata.
Yeah, which is notice of error, of course.
Yep.
Meaning I made a mistake. I need to correct the official record.
And she corrected the official record in every friggin' way.
15 pages.
She did it with a smirk on her beautiful face the entire time.
The other thing I wanted to tell you when you guys were talking about this in the DPH is that 15 pages is usually not, I don't know about usually, but a standard limit for motions. Yeah. So it could have been much longer, but she was capped at 15.
My point is, I think that Stormy Daniels is just a much longer term Cassidy Hutchinson.
Maybe.
A bit of sabotage thrown at the enemy. And also, why would you fight Donald Trump? What are you talking about? He's a freaking billionaire. Are you people on drugs? What world do these creeps live in?
Well, and again, they're that is a statement that comes from a normie surface level area of Bill Maher's sex life, which he's a red shoe guy, right? So why would you fuck Donald Trump? Like, I don't even want to know what he's done. I'm sure it's worse than Donald Trump.
I think I'm just willing to bet that he's kind of like Roman Polanski, that he has 13-year-old girlfriends. That's probably some of the tamer shit that these people do. That's the part
because they could be 6-year-old girlfriends
or boyfriends. So yeah. When you see Meryl Streep and Whoopi Goldberg saying, come on, it was Roman Polanski's girlfriend. It's because the really sick shit being done by Roman Polanski. It's being done by Hillary Clinton.
And probably Whoopi Goldberg.
And probably Whoopi Goldberg. Maybe. I don't know. I can't say for Oprah. Sure. These people are freaking animals. All right, we're running out of time. Senator Lindsey Graham, NBC News, says Israel should do whatever it has to while comparing the war in Gaza to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This is going to be so much cringe. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, on Sunday compared Israel's war against Hamas to the U.S. decision to drop atomic bombs on Japan in World War II during an interview on NBC News' Meet the Press. When we were faced with destruction as a nation after Pearl Harbor, fighting the Germans and the Japanese, we decided to end the war by the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons, Graham said. That was the right decision. He added, give Israel the bombs they need to end the war. They can't afford to lose. Graham, a staunch supporter of Israel, used the analogy multiple times while condemning President Joe Biden for threatening to withhold certain weapons from Israel if it launches a military operation in Rafah, the southernmost city in Gaza, where over a million civilians are sheltering, NBC News. There were no nuclear weapons dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was a garden variety firebombing. But the propaganda victory of the nuclear bomb is what ended a lot of the war.
Yeah, in that interview, I'm going to see if I can pull up the clip really quickly, because he says in that interview, I thought that was okay, meaning what they did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, regardless of whether it was a nuke or a garden variety bombing, what they did in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, he comes out and he's like, I thought that was okay. Why is it not okay now that we just nuke Palestine? And it's like, wait a second. No, it was never okay. That was always problematic. But then the news anchor lady talks about how nuclear energy, here it is. I found it. It's 34 seconds. Can I play this?
Please.
You're going to love it.
But you're not sharing. Okay.
Am I now? Is it up?
Yes, you are now.
Was it okay for America?
Historians would say, why is it okay for Reagan to do it and not President Biden? But let me ask you about
Can I say this? Why is it okay for America to not drop two nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end their existential threat war? Why was it okay for us to do that? I thought it was okay. To Israel, do whatever you have to do to survive as a Jewish state.
Senator, again, military officials say technology has changed. But let me ask you about how
these military officials that you're talking about.
Let me ask you something.
Full of crap.
Let me ask you something that I.
So how has nuclear technology changed? Like, we can't drop nukes anymore? Is that like going to the moon? Like, because the technology, we destroyed it and we can't build it back again? Like, what was that? Military officials say that the nuclear technology has changed. Wait, what? How?
I would drop nukes on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in a nanosecond. But we can't do that anymore because we destroyed that technology.
So
it's really hard to build it back.
Yeah, it's a painful process to build it back again. So
I thought that was okay. No, it never was.
You know, you got to take it from the framework of the central narrative. The Japanese in the central narrative were a uniquely horrifying people who will stop at nothing to inflict their wrath upon the world. Mm-hmm. Invasion of the Japanese mainland would kill 1 million American soldiers. Therefore, the nuclear weapons will save lives. That's the central narrative. And you either believe it or you don't. But you could say the same thing about there is a deadly virus that's going to kill us all unless we all shelter in place. That's the central narrative. And if you believe it'll kill us all, then forcing everybody to shelter in place makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you have to just be skeptical of the central narrative because it's always a lie.
Well, because it's being delivered by psychopaths to give them more power.
Every time.
Every time.
All right. From CNN, cyber attack forces major U.S. healthcare network to divert ambulances from hospitals. A major U.S. healthcare system said Thursday that it is diverting ambulances from several of its hospitals following a cyber attack this week. The cyber attack on Ascension, a St. Louis-based nonprofit network that includes 140 hospitals in 19 states, is also disrupting access to electronic health records, some phone systems, and, quote, various systems utilized to order certain tests, procedures, and medications, Ascension said in a statement distributed Thursday evening. The sprawling healthcare network, which also owns 40 senior living facilities, said that it would be using, quote, downtime procedure for some time because of the cyber attack. Downtime procedures are typically when health providers revert to backup processes, including paper records, that allow them to care for patients when computers are down. Four sources briefed on the investigation told CNN that Ascension suffered a ransomware attack, in which cyber criminals typically try to lock computers and steal data for extortion. Those sources said that the type of ransomware used in the back is known as BlackBasta, which hackers have used repeatedly to attack healthcare organizations in recent years. BlackBasta, also the name of a broad criminal group that uses the ransomware, includes Russian speakers, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. Of course, they're Russian. On Friday, the Health Information Sharing and Analysis Center, a cyber threat sharing group for big healthcare providers worldwide, published an advisory warning that hackers using BlackBasta ransomware have, quote, recently accelerated attacks against the healthcare sector. That includes at least two healthcare organizations in Europe and the U.S. that in the last month have, quote, suffered severe operational disruptions because of BlackBasta ransomware, the advisory said, without naming the healthcare organizations, CNN. So, the CIA is going to start taking down hospitals and blaming it on Russia. Yippee.
Yeah, and they're also killing old people again, just FYI.
Why not?
This specific hospital network has a concentration in senior care. And if their facilities are hacked and go down, that means, you know, people on respirators, on other, technology-reliant medication distribution, all that kind of stuff stops. I really think they need to kill off the boomers. Save a boomer, everyone. Yeah. Adopt a boomer.
So here's the thing, though.
I have two, so I'm full.
You're not going to kill that many boomers.
Actually, my husband's mother, we have three boomers. We're full of boomers.
The boomer generation is huge, and you don't need to kill off old people. I think that there's more to it. I think what they want to do is terrify the living shit out of everybody, and they want to make these attacks far more widespread as we move up to election day. They're going to blame it on Russia, and they're going to take down electrical grids everywhere. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think they absolutely have to kill off old people. I also think they're going to have to take that through Gen X, because we remember the world before the digital industrial revolution. And as it gets more dystopian, we are the ones that are going to push back. Much easier to kill us all off than to try and fight us on the various playing fields. I think we're proving that now.
If I can give anybody advice, it would be, guys, figure out how to live without pharmaceutical drugs. And I know there are a lot of older people in this audience, and you're on pharmaceutical drugs.
Yes.
Not even the fun ones, the ones that you just wish you didn't have to take, like freaking lisinopril. So my advice is figure out a way to start weaning off of those things, like Synthroid. Try to get off of it now before these bastards cut everybody off all at once.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And there's so many things that can be mitigated and dealt with in diet, in supplements, in natural treatments, but the doctors, the pharmaceutical industry and their puppet doctors are never going to tell you that. They're going to give you the medication for the thing, and then they're going to give you three more to treat the side effects of the medication for the thing.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. But there was, prior to the stolen election, before I had fully woken up, I was on like 9 different pharma meds and I didn't need any of them.
Were any of them fun at least?
No.
Jesus. All right. Look, guys, I'm ever telling anybody to cold turkey either. That's awful. Just see if you can wean off. Talk to your doctor. Yeah, say, not hey, can medical I have a lower advice. Dose? What's that?
This is not medical advice.
It's not medical advice. It's friggin' economic advice, because there are economic dependencies that make people easier to kill. And I hate that. I hate it so much.
Yeah. And the reason I mentioned the stolen election in that is that that was what woke me up to pharma. There were doctors that were out saying, oh, you want a medical exemption for religious for fetal cells? You don't even realize that fetal cells are in all these other products. And I'm like, holy shit, I got to stop using all those other products. Like, right? I had no idea. I had no idea there were fetal cells, embryonic cells in Coca-Cola, for example.
So I want to do the Epic Minerals spot right now, because we are offering a 72-hour sale. If you get 2 or more bars of soap, your order automatically gets $5 off. And if you get 2 body butters or 2 serums or a body butter and a serum, bam, 25% off. And if you get zeolite and wellness immune booster capsules, you get 10% off of that. Everything started at 9 p.m. on the 11th. And it's going to end, I think, at the end of today. So go to epicminerals.net, use promo code Badlands, and you can get these big, big discounts, because it is the Mother's Day 72-hour sale, which ends at the end of today, I think, or possibly the middle of tomorrow. Epicminerals.net, promo code Badlands. Guys, your skin will thank you. It has apricot kernel oil, which is a big source of laetrol, otherwise known as vitamin B17, which has been even shown to mitigate cancer. And I can say that because even the National Institutes of Health have verified it.
Wow. Yeah, I always talk about how pretty the soaps were, and I thought I'd actually bring one over. So this is the Eternal Love, and I have to kill this light for you to be able to see it. There's little heart. Yeah, well, I haven't finished using the other one. But it is the smells amazing. They come so like wrapped nice and pretty. And so when I say like this is a great gift for Mother's Day or for any anniversary or a birthday, they really are. And there's boy scents too. There's like sandalwood, and yeah, there's boy
well-dressed man is in every single one of these soaps is wrapped by my wife. So just fun fact there as well.
Yeah, and they really are pretty and smell great and work as soap and make great gifts.
She named all the soaps. So I don't remember what that one is called, but Eternal Love. She named one of them Pretty Green Soap. She named another one of them Well-Dressed Man. They've got really cool names. All right. Next. Oh, we're in bonus items. This one from the Epic Times, FDA preparing for possible bird flu spread among humans. Commissioner, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is preparing for a scenario in which the highly pathogenic avian influenza starts spreading among humans, the agency's commissioner said on May 8th. This virus, like all viruses, is mutating. We need to continue to prepare for the possibility that it might jump to humans, Dr. Robert Califf, the commissioner, told senators during a hearing in Washington. The influenza, also known as the bird flu, or H5N1, has recently started spreading among cattle and other species. One person in Texas has had a confirmed case this year. So far, genetic sequencing and other data indicate that influenza poses little risk to people. And there are no signs that the flu is transmitting from person to person, according to U.S. officials. But they are working on getting treatments, tests, and vaccines ready in case that changes. Quote, we've been busy getting prepared for if the virus does mutate in a way that jumps into humans on a larger level, Dr. Califf told the Senate Appropriations Committee's Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee. The patient in Texas primarily experienced one symptom, inflamed eyes. Neither the patient nor many of the cows that have been infected have suffered respiratory symptoms. H5N1 commonly infects the respiratory tracts of birds. The real worry is that it will jump to the human beings, where, when that has happened in other parts of the world for brief outbreaks, the mortality rates have been 25%, Dr. Califf said. The worry is based in part on how viruses typically mutate, such as in the case of COVID-19. From 2003 to April 1st, 2024, 889 cases of H5N1 have been confirmed across the globe, according to the World Health Organization. Of the patients, 52% have died, the Epoch Times. This is all horseshit made up. And viruses are fake. What they do is they make up a PCR test and then start randomly swabbing people. The test is designed for an extremely high positive rate, not false positive, just false, because that's all it is. But they come up positive a whole bunch of the time. They call those cases, and then they kill a bunch of them with poison drugs.
Yeah, it's a election year. So
they're going to try some shit.
They're going to try it. Yeah. I read last night that 70, it said 70 people. It was a WHO video. And then, you know, somebody's post on top of it didn't independently verify it, but they said that 70 people in Colorado have been quarantined for this new bird flu virus variant nonsense. And so, you know, we're the tip of the spear for communism here. And we like to try all the things first. So I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, they're going to try some shit, and it's going to be bullshit. And Dr. Robert Califf is a criminal.
He's the new Dazak.
Yeah, whatever. All right, next story. From Zero Hedge. Something super weird is going on. Musk reacts to anti-capitalist attack on Berlin Gigafactory. All hell is breaking out at Tesla's Gigafactory, Berlin Brandenburg, on Friday, as hundreds of woke Marxist extremists storm the property. Videos on X show hundreds of people running towards the massive factory. Quote, most of those demonstrators do not come from Grünheide, if any at all. They are not just against Tesla, but against any form of capitalism, and that's a pretty ridiculous claim, as it's the best system to balance capital between poor and rich that exists. It's a wild mixture of people mainly believing in the lies of the media and activated from environmental organizations who amplify an ill-designed protest, one ex-user said. Some are wondering why the so-called anti-capitalist protesters who attacked the Tesla Gigafactory in Berlin are ignoring other automakers whose brands cater to the upper class they claim to oppose. Why not protest factories making BMW 7 Series and Mercedes S-Class or Maybach, asks ex-user Warren Redlich, adding, because they're full of crap. To which Tesla owner Elon Musk replied, something super weird is going on, as Tesla was the only car company attacked. Zero Hedge. Something super weird is going on sounds a lot like something wicked this way comes. I don't know why that struck me, but it just seems very
I'm just
miracle.
Struck that both that Warren Redlich guy and Lindsey Graham said full of crap on our brief this morning.
Oh, God, maybe it's the same writers.
Yeah, it's not even it's not even creative.
Yeah, I know. I don't have any way of knowing what's actually going on at the Tesla Gigafactory, but I suspect it's probably overblown.
Yeah, anti-capitalist protesters are all paid shills for the actual government.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah.
These are government-sponsored riots, so you better not defend yourself.
Yep.
Next story from FT. Oscars launch fundraising drive as Academy Awards audience shrinks. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is launching a $500 million global fundraising drive to bolster its finances and counter a decades-long decline in the audience for the annual Oscars TV broadcast that generates most of its revenue. The Academy has raised about $100 million already with individual donors, including billionaire Leonard Blavatnik, said Bill Kramer, the Academy's chief executive, in an interview. It has also signed sponsorship deals with global luxury brands, including the Dorchester Collection. The TV audience for the Oscars has shrunk from nearly 44 million U.S. viewers in 2014 to 19.5 million this year, according to Statista. Wow, that's nice. The current deal between the nonprofit Academy and ABC, the Walt Disney-owned TV network that broadcasts the Oscars, ends in 2028. The 100th anniversary of the awards ceremony and negotiations on renewal are set to begin soon. Kramer describes the current ABC deal as very healthy and called the arrangement with Disney an amazing partnership. But he said that with streaming upending the film and TV business, the Academy decided it needed to embark on a revenue diversification campaign.
By begging the public for money?
Yeah, I know. It's a revenue diversification campaign. It's not begging. Diversification. which is our strength. No healthy company or organization should rely on one source of support to a degree that could cause concern if that support decreases, he said. Financial Times. You know?
Poor just, little rich kids.
The fact that 19.5 million still watch that cesspit fest of pedophiles.
Well, hang on a second, because remember that the ratings are live plus same day times 1,000. And so, the old mechanism metric for ratings was live viewers plus same day viewers. So you've got your viewers watching live, and then you've got your 24 hour tail on your content. Okay. They've always marked that up to account for people viewing the content in other places, but currently they mark it up by 1,000. That's the formula.
Does that mean 19,500? Is that the idea?
No. 19.5 million viewers is calculated by live viewers plus same day viewers. So people watching on demand on their TiVos or whatever. Times 1,000. And they do the markup to account for streaming services and people watching through X or other things and whatnot.
It is a wild ass friggin' guess.
Yeah.
Got exactly. It. Okay.
Times 1,000.
Yeah.
So don't be mad at the 19.5 million people still watching the Oscars, because that's not a real number.
Yeah. Are the ratings call sign Cujo says ratings calculated with Dominion machines?
Yes, pretty much.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching The Brief. We do this show every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. Don't forget to hit the thumbs up. That puts us on the leaderboard. Also, check out badlandsmedia.tv, our marketplace. That's a very important place. You can also put your small business there. So check that out, badlandsmedia.tv. We've got Badlands Daily coming up next, which is CanCon and Ghost of Based Patrick Henry. Thank you, everybody, for watching, and we will see y'all next time.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.